All right, find, if you would, please, the 14th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 14 will be our text this evening. And looking forward to continuing our series in this book. And we're taking our time, but yet we are making good headway as we go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, truth by truth, precept upon precept, and making our way through this study that we entitled Things to Remember. And that name and that title of our series came because this is exactly what Moses is wanting to accomplish, and God is inspiring through the writing of his word to prepare the nation as they go into the promised land. And he wants them to remember him, remember his word, remember the statutes and the judgments. He wants them to remember this because, unlike their parents who were filled with unbelief and died in the wilderness, the Lord wanted this generation to live. He wanted them to be blessed. He wanted them to enjoy God as their God. He wanted them to enjoy the rich blessing of God upon their life. He wanted to enjoy them as his people. And he wanted to enjoy the fact that they would trust him and walk by faith and follow him and follow him wholeheartedly. And heart is a word that you find a lot in the book of Deuteronomy. God didn't want them to follow him blindly or robotically. He wanted them to have a heart to know him, to love him with all their heart. And he was constantly trying to, using the opportunity to reveal to them their own heart and to grow them in their heart. And so he would allow them to go through trial. He would allow them to go through test. He would allow them to go through some things. Even allowed them to be exposed. He knew they would be exposed to some false teachers, to some false doctrine as they moved into the land. But he wanted to know where they stood in their heart according to his word and according to himself. I think it was said later in the Old Testament and said perfectly that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Boy, I'll tell you, if you take nothing out of here tonight, you ought to be reminded that God knows our heart. He looks upon our heart. He understands that our heart is the motivation for all that we do, positive and what we do, negative. I hope you know the Lord in your heart. I've talked with a lot of people, and they are able to tell me what they know intellectually about the Lord, but not relationally as they know him in their heart. The 14th chapter we began last week, we made it through the first 21 verses. We found in these 21 verses the theme of holiness. You find the word mentioned and the truth mentioned in the second verse there, where God is declaring to the nation that thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. We took a moment to talk about what the word holy means. It's a word that carries with the idea of being set apart, a sanctification, a set apart unto. And God was reminding the nation that they were his people, verse number one. And he was reminding them that because they were his people, he wanted them to be set apart unto him. And he uses the word holy here to describe that. He uses the word holy here to define that. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. We found also that he closes that section in verse number 21 with the same truth. At the end of that verse, he says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. So he was reminding them of their position. And he was reminding them of their position there as to bring glory to the Lord. They were not to be like the unsaved world. They were not to reflect that in their behavior. They were not to reflect that in their beliefs. They were not to reflect that at all. And everything they were to do was to be evidence that they were God's people and that they were set apart unto him. And so holiness, we said, was the second statute that God had addressed. And we're in a section now where God is giving them statutes and judgments. I showed this to you in chapter 11, verse 32, chapter 12, verse number 1. These are statutes and judgments which God wants them to keep when they get over into the land. The first one was on the subject of worship. And God had a way that he wanted to be worshiped in the beauty of holiness. He had a place and a desire there and some particulars about worship. We went into the New Testament and showed you how God still has those directives on worship. And so he's covered worship and he's covered holiness with the people. So when you come to chapter 14 tonight, verse number 22, he's going to cover another subject. And I'm excited to preach on it and to teach on it. It's not one that you usually find for a Wednesday night, but it's in the Word. And so here we go. Verse number 22. Thou shalt truly, would you say that word? Tithe. All right. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. Thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks. Now, if you have a pen or a marker and you've been marking, I want you to underline the rest of this verse. Verse number 23. That thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And when you get there and you've underlined it, put a little number one beside it. Verse number 24. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then thou shalt turn it into money. Bind up the money in thine hand, and thou shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Turn me down just a little bit. I'm hot and I hear myself hot. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen or for sheep, for wine or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God. Now that same pen you got in your hand, underline the last part of verse number 26. And thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. Once you've underlined that, put a little number two beside that. So you've got underlined verse 23. You should have a little number one there beside fear of the Lord. At the end of verse number 26, you should have underlined thou shalt rejoice. You should have a number two beside that. And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, remember, he wasn't given an inheritance, Levi, because he was a minister of the Lord, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied. Now take that pen again in your hand and underline the rest of this verse. That the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. Put a little number three there. So you have underlined verse number 23. You have underlined verse number 26. And you have underlined verse number 29. Fitting. Absolutely fitting. That as God is giving them statutes and judgments to keep as the nation when they enter into the promised land. The first thing he dealt with was worship. He said, I want you to worship me properly. I want you to worship me according to the beauty of holiness because I am holy. The second thing he said is because I am holy, I want to deal with holiness. And because I am holy, I want my people to be holy. We talked about how holiness is not just an Old Testament directive. It's also a New Testament command. And God expects his people to be holy today. Holiness should still be beautiful to God's people today. All right. Third thing God says to the nation, he said, now I want to talk to you about your tithe. I want to talk to you about tithing. And it's very fitting that God makes tithing number three after holiness, because it's Bible study tonight. Put something in Deuteronomy chapter 14 and turn to Leviticus chapter number 27. And I want to show you what God had already told the nation about tithing. We're going to talk about tithing here, but I want to give you a premise for this. In Leviticus chapter number 27, look if you would please at verse number 30. I appreciate hearing those pages turn. Leviticus, by the way, was to the left. Some of you are turning because you're lost and you're like, where am I going? Okay, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. All right, 27:30. Look at this. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the, say his name, Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In the Old Testament, when you find capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is Jehovah. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the who of the New Testament? Is the Jesus of the New Testament. So the Jehovah of the Old is the Jesus of the New. All of the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, which means it belongs to him. It is, say that word, holy unto the Lord. That word holy means set apart unto the Lord. He goes on to talk about in verse number 31, if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part. I'll talk about that in a minute. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. And so God is dealing now with a statute and with a judgment and a directive that he wants for his people. When they go into the promised land, I want you to worship me right. I want you to know holiness. And the very next thing he deals with is the subject of tithing. And I want to make sure that you understand what tithing is tonight. Want to define it on a Wednesday night Bible study. I look forward to supporting it with the scripture. When the Bible talks about tithe on a practical level, it's talking about a percentage. When you think of the word tithe, you think of the word tenth. Tithe equals tenth. We find that in Genesis chapter 28, verse number 22. We find that in Leviticus chapter 27, verse number 32. And so when we talk about tithe and tithing, we are talking about God's people bringing to the Lord what belongs to him. The tithe belongs to the Lord. When we came in Deuteronomy chapter number 14, come back here if you would please. Look if you would at verse number 22. Very imperative that you get some of these truths tonight and that I'm able to debunk some of the falseness that goes with this. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse number 22 says, thou shalt truly tithe all the, what's that word? Increase. All right, what is increase? Increase is that which you have been enlarged upon. In the nation of Israel, and back in that day, they were enlarged in cattle, they were enlarged in land, they were enlarged in fruit, they were enlarged in these things. And so they brought 10%, the first 10% of that, to the Lord because it belonged to him. In our day and age, when we're talking about increase, we're talking about financial increase. Anything that you make money on, i.e. a paycheck, a weekly salary, a biweekly salary, a monthly salary, i.e. A gift, i.e. the sale or the profit of something, anywhere you are increased, you need to be alert to that word. And the Lord is talking about tithing, and he's linking tithing to increase. Now, what you need to understand about the nation of Israel is that God wanted his tithe from his people. God wanted his tithe from his people. And it's the third statute. Now think about this. Don't lose me now. The first generation, they died in the wilderness in unbelief. And we in the study of the book of Deuteronomy, I've already showed you that the heart of God was that this next generation would not die in unbelief, but that they would live by faith. Okay? God wanted them to live. He wanted them to know life. He wanted them to understand the relationship as being the people of God and God being their God and they being his people. And so God wanted to bless them. And so when he said, I want you to worship me properly, I want you to be holy and set apart, but I also want what belongs to me, the tithe, the first 10%. Pastor, why is God so interested in the tithe? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Whether you asked it or not, I'm going to answer it. Back then, and I believe I can show you, God wanted his tithe from his people because it was a reckoning of where his people stood. And bringing the tithe was a test of their understanding of ownership. It was a test of ownership. They were the people of God. If you are a child of the living God, say amen. Okay. So according to the book in the New Testament, you don't own yourself. You cannot own yourself and be a child of God. Now I can live selfishly. But if I own myself, then where was I purchased and bought with the blood of Christ? Paul said, what? Know ye not that ye have been purchased, you're bought, ye are not your own. Therefore glorify God in your body, which belongs to him. And so God wanted the nation of Israel to understand, I brought you out of Egypt. I redeemed you. I brought you through that Red Sea on dry ground. You were and are nothing without me. And God wants you and I to understand that he brought us out of the bondage of sin. And we are and we were and we are nothing without him. So when I said, Lord Jesus, I call upon you to be my Savior, I'm put my faith and trust, indwell me through your Spirit, redeem me, that purchase possession now, I no longer own myself, I'm a child of the living God. So God said to the nation, from my people I want what belongs to me. And God is saying to his people today, I want what belongs to me. And he's wanting the people to recognize ownership. Take that Bible and go to Leviticus chapter 25. Let me show you a great verse. You'll need this verse. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Hit Leviticus 25, verse number 23. God made it very, very clear whose land they were living in. He made it very, very clear what was available to them and how they were to relate in their understanding. In chapter 25, verse number 23, he tells them, the land shall not be sold, how long? Forever. For the land is mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And so what God was saying is, I want my tithe from my people, and I want my people to understand ownership. I want them to understand who I am. I want them to understand that I'm the rightful owner of that land. I want them to recognize me as God. I want a humble submission of my people, and I want them to understand this relationship. And I will submit to you tonight, church, that the tithe has and always will be just that. It will be your recognition of who owns you. It will be your recognition of who God is. And it will be your recognition of humble submission to God. It has always been that way. Could you go to the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis and let me show you where tithing began? Please do. You're going to need this because you're going to have to prove to all your friends later that your preacher's not crazy. Genesis chapter 14, first place you find tithing in the Bible. Who was the first person to tithe in the Bible, as we know in Genesis 14? Abraham, okay? Genesis chapter 14, look if you would please at verse number 20. I actually go to verse number 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram. This was before he was Abraham. Abram, not Abraham, not in the father of many, Abram. Of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he, Abraham, gave him, say that word class, tithes of all. So the first time you find tithing in the Bible, it's the recognition of one who is worthy of being given the tithe. When you go through and you will find Jacob, you will find that he also was involved in this recognition of who God is and recognition of ownership. And Jacob said later in the book of Genesis, God, if you will bring me back and if you will do this in recognition of who you are, I will lay down and bring your tithe. The Israelites, they tithed under the law. Jesus recognized tithing, Matthew 23, verse 23, Luke chapter 11, and verse number 42. And so you will find as you look through tithing in the Bible, God has always wanted tithes, his tithe, from his people. Tithing has always been in recognition of who God is. Now, get this in your brain and don't ever forget it. Tithing is never, ever, ever tied to a people or to a program. Tithing is always tied to a person. Okay? Pastor. Tithing is never to be tied to the people, or it's never to be tied to a program. It's tied to a person, right? And when you go through all the way back into from Genesis 14, where we deal with Melchizedek, and when you go all the way into the book of Hebrews, where once again we find the dealing with Melchizedek, who's a type of Christ, you will find that the tithe is always tied to the Lord Jesus. Why is that important for God's people to understand? It's important for God's people to understand this because the Lord is still receiving his tithe today. So many people try to discredit tithing. And so many people want to link tithing to a people or to a program. And so what they will say is they will say this. Well, tithing is just Old Testament. My friend, tithing is not Old Testament. It's in the New Testament as well. Okay? Tithing is not to a people in a program. It's tied to a person. Come on. It's tied to a person. Was Jesus in the Old Testament? So, Well, it's Old Testament. It's not New Testament. They don't know what they're talking about. Well, Pastor, tithing really was just for the Jew under the law. People program. My friend, Abraham tithed way before he was a Jew. And he tithed way before the law. By the way, Abraham wasn't born a Jew. He was born a Gentile. Abraham wasn't born a Jew. You don't get Jews until you have Isaac, until you have Jacob. Abraham was called out of the land of Ur. Abraham wrestled and warred against Sodom and Gomorrah. And there stands Melchizedek, this type of Christ. And Abraham reckoning within his soul that responsibility to honor that. And he paid tithes. So anybody that tells you tithing is simply Old Testament has not read the New Testament. Anybody that tells you tithing is simply tied to the law doesn't understand that tithing was way before the law and it was way after the law. I can prove that. Go to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Once again, we're visited here with Melchizedek. Melchizedek was an Old Testament figure and a type of Christ who is the high priest. You read about him in his description, you'll find that type in Christ. Look, if you would, please, here in verse number, and so I don't get too bogged down here, let me go to verse number 6. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. I just read that to you back in Genesis 14. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. So Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek as the less to the better. Verse number 8. And here, men that die receive tithes. But there, say that word, he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he does what, class? That he liveth. So when the writer of the book of Hebrews, he's letting the Jews know that the new covenant was better than the old covenant. And he's letting them know that even though Melchizedek is a type of Christ, Christ himself is better than that old direction there. And so back then, the less paid tithes to the better. And now even today, tithe is to the better, to the Lord Jesus. Tithing is always tied to the person of Christ. If when you tithe, here's what you're saying. Jesus is Lord. Okay, so questions come. Oh, Pastor, wait a minute. Aren't we under grace? I get so sick of hearing that. I love grace. Okay, so we're under grace. So therefore, under grace, we're not under the law. Amen. But tithing began with grace. Tithing has always been about grace. So when you go to Genesis 14 and Abraham sees Melchizedek, who's blessed him in recognition of God's grace on Abraham, Abraham unfolds the tithe. Go, if you would, please, to Romans chapter 4. Let me show you something here. Don't forget this. Come on, read it with your eyeballs so you know we're reading the Bible. Romans chapter 4, one of the great chapters in the Bible on grace. And really, truthfully, even though it's in the Old Testament, it's a chapter about Abraham. Romans chapter 4, verse number 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham did what to God, class? Believe God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of, say the word, grace. How did Abraham get saved? How did Abraham get saved? By grace. How did Noah get saved? By grace. How did David get saved? How did Rahab get saved? How did Elijah get saved? How does everybody in the whole being get saved? By grace. For the works of the law shall no flesh ever be justified. Oh, well, Pastor, we're under grace. Yeah. Grace has always been there to save sinful man. Always. You read Romans 4, you read verse 4, verse 16. Abraham related to God and knew God and was saved. He believed upon God, he reckoned it, and God's great grace saved Abraham. And Abraham, in the midst of that recognition of that grace, laid down his tithe. And by the way, every person that's ever been saved, saved by grace. Tithe is not tied to a people or to a program. It's tied to the person of Jesus Christ. So here's the thought process. This is what they're preaching now. This is what they're teaching. Well, we're under grace. So because we're under grace, then we should just be generous. How many have children? How many think you understand generosity? Generous. So it goes something like this. Well, Pastor, if the Jews being under the law had the tithe, and they had more than one tithe, and since we're under grace, we should just because we're generous in our understanding, do more than what they have done. You know what I have found? I have found, apart from the grace of God, I'm not very generous. And to be honest with you, when we take a love offering in a church or in any group of people, I read a statistic the other day. The average per person on a love offering is $3 to $4. $3 to $4. So our churches are broke, basically. Not our church, but churches that are counting on people's generosity, they usually don't do very well. Well, Jesus was generous. No, Jesus was obedient and fulfilled the whole law. Okay. So what about grace, Pastor? Yeah, tithing began under grace. Carried all the way through. Now the Jews, they rejected grace and they wanted the law. And so the law brought about this big demand and God put all those tithes tied to the law. But that was their choice. God didn't want them to have the law. They wanted the law. God wanted them just to believe and trust and follow him by faith. That was the whole purpose of going into the land of Canaan. The truth is, God is still wanting his tithe from his people. And somewhere, somehow, we have let preachers stand up and preach to us a different message. And somewhere, somehow, God's people, in our minds, we have begun to work the word differently, and we kind of secured ourselves with our own generosity. And the reality is we're not really generous people. You should see your face right now. Okay? And so God told the nation, now when you get in there, you worship me. You get in there, you be holy. And when you get in there, I want my tithe. I want it. And I don't want it because I per se need it. I want it because it reflects your heart. I want it because it reflects your understanding of who I am. It reflects your understanding of my grace in bringing you into this. It recognizes my ownership of you and of this land. And really and truthfully, it really relates your opinion of me. And I would still say this too to God's people. Your opinion about tithing, if tithing really is tied to the person of Christ, who it is, you've got to be able to measure that according to the person of Christ in your life. Now, all of that's introduction. Here's my 3 points, and they're real simple. You already have them. I could preach this till I'm blue in the face. And I can preach this, and I can show Bible verses like crazy. And yet, it's simply, I don't know, somehow God's people don't seem to receive this. So here's what God promised to the nation would happen if they would tithe. Verse number 23. They would have the fear of the Lord. Verse number 26. They would have the joy of the Lord. And verse number 29. They would have the blessing of the Lord. 1, 2, 3. The fear of the Lord. Pastor, what is the fear of the Lord? The phrase fear of the Lord really carries with it the idea of standing in awe. And this is the evidence for what makes tithing biblical and right. See, I can preach it to you and I can share it with you, and some people receive it and some people don't. So I just thought I would let your own life be a testimony. So I really need you to just think about your own life right now. I have found this, as a tither, and by the way, let's just be straight so you know, your pastor tithes. I do. I tithe, I give to missions, I give to mission to Haiti, I try to give the special offerings when I can. I'm not somebody who doesn't practice what I preach here. I want you to know that your pastor, as a child of the living God, brings God's tithe for him and for his family. I want you to know that. So as I tithe, one of the great things that happens in my heart and my spirit is a reverence and an awe develops for the Lord. And this reverence and this awe brings such a security to me. It brings such a confidence into my life. And that's really what it is. It's a position of who am I in awe of? Am I in awe of my own self? Am I in awe of my own resources? Am I in awe of my own wisdom? Or am I in awe of the Lord? The Bible says in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart. One of the greatest joys of tithing is that reverential awe that brings such a confidence in God. So I was watching the solar eclipse, and they were on the beach somewhere. Maybe it was South Carolina. And there was this girl, this reporter. She was there, and she just happened to find three of the strongest, handsomest hunks that were on the beach to be on the television show there. All of them had their shirts off and their shorts on, and they looked like me when I was 21. And this kid's standing there, and he's got his glasses on, and he's got to be 20, 22, 23 years old. And he's standing, and he's looking, and he's just amazed. And the lady's trying to ask him the question, and she says, sir, just tell me what you're feeling right now. And he's looking up, he's just amazing. And he's trying to find the words, and then all of a sudden he said this: I guess if I could sum it up, I have never felt as one with the universe as I do right now. And I kind of understood what he was talking about. It had went from daylight to dark, and the people are cheering. And I mean, it was magnificent to see how God orchestrated that. And in his unsaved way, I'm sure he's trying to say, I just feel in one with the universe. I cannot tell you the joy it is to bring God his tithe, and in that moment, no matter what my financial need, no matter what my difficulty, no matter what I'm doing, when I drop his tithe in that plate, trusting him, I feel at one with him. And there's many times I tell the Lord, Lord, if we're going down, we're going down together. He's never let me down. He's never let anybody down. To my tithers out there, if you know that reverential awe of trusting the Lord with his tithe, would you say amen? It's powerful, man. What do you do when you don't have that. The second blessing is the joy of the Lord. And God told them in chapter 14, verse number 26, that there would be joy once you do this. If you'll follow me and bring me what belongs to me. I loved what he said here in verse 26. You have it underlined. Thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God. Thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine what? Household. One of the great joys of serving the Lord, and one of the great joys of knowing the Lord, is to be able to relate to him through his tithe. And not only does that blessing come upon the leader of the home, I have found that that blessing comes upon the whole household, just like it has presented here. Now, no home is perfect. No home is without difficulty. But a home that gives God his tithe is usually a home that knows the joy of the Lord. And you just know that in your heart. The third thing is the blessing of the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, you ought to write that verse down, verse number 10. God promised he would open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that there would not be room enough to receive. What does it mean to be blessed by the Lord? I was thinking about that. What does it mean to feel blessed? When somebody says, I just feel blessed. I thought about that, and here's the definition that I came up with. When somebody says that they just feel blessed, it is the feeling that my life is made better because of God. My life is made better because of God. I feel blessed. And what we're saying there is, from all aspects, I feel blessed in my health. Well, I thank you, God, for giving me health. I feel blessed in this job opportunity. God, you gave me this job. I feel blessed here. Whenever I feel blessed, there's the recognition of someone greater bestowing upon somebody less. I feel blessed. And God said to the nation and to us, if you bring me my tithe, I'm going to open up my window in heaven, that hurricane-proof window. And I'm going to pour out on your life blessings that you can't even contain. Not only am I going to pour out blessing upon you, I'm going to turn and I'm going to defend and I'm going to rebuke the devourer and I'm going to protect your life. I don't know about you, but with God protecting my life, I feel blessed. See, one of the sweetest ways to know the Lord and relate to him is by honoring him with his tithe. I could preach it till I'm blue in the face. But the reality is, there's nothing greater than trusting God with everything you have. That reverence, that awe, that confidence. There is nothing better than the joy of the Lord. And there is nothing better than the blessing of God upon your life. And God said, when you go into the land, I want my tithe. And God is still saying to his people today, I want my tithe. Tithe is not tied to a people. It's not tied to a program. It's tied to the person of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you as your pastor, it's one of the great struggles and difficulties of our lives. It's one of the most inconsistent things people do. It absolutely makes no sense on paper. So here's what I tell people that tell me that. Pastor, my budget, my tithe makes no sense on paper. I tell them, you're looking at the wrong paper. Because when you look on this paper, you will find that it makes wonderful sense. Amen. Change your paper. read this paper. Three things. I want to be worshiped. I want you to know holiness. And I want you to tithe. Shall we pray?